My guest at this time is Colorado Republican Congressman Cory Gardner, representing the Centennial State's 4th Congressional District. He's also a member of the House Energy and Commerce Committee. That's the panel that's taking a very close look into the use of taxpayer dollars to provide loan guarantees for energy companies, an increasing number of which now have proven to be failures despite the use of quite a few taxpayer dollars. The list has grown longer just in the past couple of days, and the congressman is here to explain what he thinks is going on here and what investigative work the committee still needs to do. And, sir, it's good to have you with us.
Well, thanks for having me on.
The name that, of course, anyone who's been following this aspect of the story knows is Solyndra. Taxpayers providing about $535 million there. The firm still went bankrupt earlier this year. Just in the past few days, we've learned about this company, EnerOne, in New York, $118.5 million. Beacon Energy filing for bankruptcy, $43 million. SunPower, $1.24 billion. And now some reports out today that just general fraud, not even attributed to a specific company, just falsifying travel documents and everything else, $2.3 million. So clearly, this is a lot of money, and who knows how much more of this there is. What does it tell you that we keep hearing about companies like this?
Well, the oversight and transparency of these programs has been lacking from the get-go, and it's unfortunate to see so many abuses of the taxpayer dollars. You know, we have been investigating now for some time the Solyndra situation, and obviously going to have to start looking at the many other cases where the taxpayer dollars have been abused.
Is this just a matter of poor choices for investment, but not necessarily anything else that's nefarious, or is it just a matter of this is a political agenda that whether it was a good investment or not, this is where the money went?
Well, I think there may be some combination of everything that you mentioned. First of all, there's a very cavalier attitude that we have seen from this White House saying that, you know, for every $1 in success, there may be a dollar of failure. Well, I don't think we can be gambling the taxpayer dollars in that manner. We've seen responses from the White House as saying, if we just had hindsight, well, you know what? Years ago, people were questioning whether or not some of these deals were good for the American taxpayer. And so this is an alarming point to that you bring up, because with the subordination of the taxpayer's loan, and now we wonder if this was something that actually even broke the law.
One of the attitudes I know that's out there, certainly on the more conservative side, is that perhaps along the same lines as something like ethanol is, well, this is something that the government is forcing. There's not really a market for it. And if this really is a good idea, the market will find a way to make it happen. Do you subscribe to that theory as well?
Well, I think we've definitely got to bring more transparency and accountability to this. I think there were there was an idea back in 2005 when the bill passed that maybe we could facilitate private job creation. But obviously it's taken a wrong turn from there in that point. And if we can't run a program right, if the government can't even manage the dollars that it has properly, then you have to take a look at these programs and wonder whether or not they should continue.
Energy Secretary Stephen Chu has said he will testify. I believe it's in just a couple of weeks from now before the committee. What do you want answers to more than anything?
Well, more than anything, I want to know why they continued when they knew there was trouble, why the subordination of the loan occurred. I really want to get into this question of how taxpayer dollars were put last in line when it comes to getting back their money, despite the very fine point of the law. I also want to know whether or not there were political pressures that were brought to bear on Secretary Chu, his staff, and who in the White House was communicating with each other about this loan program, and what were they saying.
Do you expect to get answers to those questions?
There is no privilege that's been exercised by the White House or asserted by the White House. There is no national security issue involved. So I would expect that they would abide by their oath and their obligations to comply with the request of the committee.
What kind of documents have been requested or even subpoenaed by the committee, and what revelations in those documents have you discovered?
Well, we have subpoenaed documents from both the Department of Energy as well as the White House, and what we received back were documents from White House senior staff and the Department of Energy, but we did not have, and we still don't have, emails to each other, people within the White House, staff-to-staff emails, talking about what they knew and what kinds of political decisions, if any, were being made. Those are the kinds of documents that we were looking for. So back in September, we made this request for White House documents. Some were produced, but none of these sort of interstaff communications. And basically, the last we heard from the White House was October 25th, when the White House wrote that basically refusing to produce any documents that have internal communications, stating that that communications would satisfy the committee's objectives. And as far as I'm concerned, they don't get to determine what the committee believes it needs and is necessary for its investigation.
What about from the companies? I know from talking to Congressman Stearns, chairman of the Subcommittee on Investigations, that he got pretty much a promise from Solyndra executives that they would testify if he gave them a few extra days to put their house in order because they had just filed for bankruptcy. Ultimately, they got those extra days, and ultimately they did not testify. Have you gotten much in the way of cooperation from Solyndra or any of these other companies?
Well, at the very beginning, you're right. We were told that they would testify, and when they did appear before the committee, they invoked their Fifth Amendment rights and did not. We were also told by the Department of Energy that they would present us with a list of all responsible decision makers who was in charge, because it was unclear during some of the testimony by DOE officials who exactly had the authority to sign off on some of these things, and I am yet to see those documents as well.
And you did get testimony from a few Energy Department officials earlier. I know that's where a lot of the subordination issues came up in terms of taxpayer funds being put beneath private investor dollars. Any follow-up from them that has helped to clarify how that or anything else may have happened?
There is a lot of confusion over a legal memorandum that was put together by DOE, and it goes back to sort of almost a Bill Clinton-esque. It depends on what the definition of is. That's what they're hanging their hat on, and I think it's disgusting that the taxpayers are out $500 million and they're trying to make a scapegoat on the word is in a legal determination. And so we're trying to clarify how on earth anybody with a reasonable legal interpretation could decide that the plain letter of the law means anything other than you cannot subordinate.
Congressman, last question. This is the broader energy issue. Clearly one of the reasons the money went in the directions that it has is because this administration has put a great deal of emphasis on the fact that it sees renewable energies and cleaner energy technologies as the wave of the future to wean us off of foreign oil and so forth. You come from an energy-rich state, Colorado. Do you sense that that is the right way to move, just in a more prudent way when it comes to investing the money, or is it wrong to put most of the eggs in the renewable basket at this point?
Well, I'm an all-of-the-above energy advocate, and I think we do need to move away from our dependence on overseas energy, and that means we've got to take a look at everything we have. That's oil, natural gas, that's nuclear power, and that means renewable energy opportunities where the market will bear it. The government should not be picking winners and losers, and we ought to have a policy that says, hey, if some of these renewable sources can or alternative sources can compete in the market, then they should be a part of it. But putting all of our eggs in one basket, as you said, is a dangerous path for our security and our economy.
Well, we'll see what's learned by forthcoming documents as well as the testimony of Secretary Chu. Congressman, thank you very much for being with us today.
Hey, thanks for having me on.
Colorado Republican Congressman Cory Gardner represents his state's 4th Congressional District. He's a member of the House Energy and Commerce Committee as well as its Investigations Subcommittee. I'm Greg Corumbus reporting for Radio America.